Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Today's celebration of the Transfiguration of our Lord concludes our season of Epiphany. And this season of Epiphany has been all about the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Now, the season began with the Magi traveling from the east to visit the newborn King of Israel. And each Sunday that followed in the season of Epiphany revealed Jesus as the Son of God in the events of Jesus' life and also in his teachings on the Sermon on the Mount. From the depths of the Jordan River Valley, where Jesus was baptized by John, we have arrived now at the heights of the Mount of Transfiguration. On the slopes of that high mountain, the ultimate epiphany took place. What Peter, James, and John witnessed with their own eyes on that mountaintop was not like anything they had ever seen before. But they would see something quite like it again. A few days before the events of the Transfiguration, Jesus and his disciples were in the town or city of Caesarea Philippi. It was there that Jesus asked his disciples who people were saying that he was. Some thought he was John the Baptist, back again. Others thought that he was Elijah, returned from heaven, or Jeremiah, reborn. When Jesus then asked his disciples who they thought that he was, Jesus heard the right answer. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now Peter was able to speak those words because the Father had revealed that truth to him. His failures in properly understanding Jesus were many in the past, but there were still more in understanding Christ to come. Peter would soon chastise Jesus for telling those same disciples that he would have to suffer and die in Jerusalem. It was then Jesus who rebuked Peter, calling him Satan himself. Peter was thinking as a sinful person would. He was not thinking the things of God. Jesus then taught Peter and the other disciples that they would be persecuted and would die for being a Christian, just like Jesus would. And as Jesus would later reveal, that would not be the end for him or for his disciples. Jesus would rise again from the dead and will raise those who believe in him. He will raise them from the dead as well. A few days following this exchange between Peter and Jesus and the disciples, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him up on a high mountaintop. Now, Matthew doesn't tell us exactly what's going through the minds of these men, but one could very well wonder if they were starting to connect the dots. Mountaintops served very well in the past as places for God's special revelation. God gave Moses all of the instructions for the nation of Israel at the top of Mount Sinai. And God revealed a glimpse of his glory to the prophet Elijah toward the peaks of Mount Horeb. Now, these two men from the past were about to meet God again on the top of a mountain. This time, the God who spoke to them as the voice from heaven was standing on the earth as man, Jesus Christ. When they came to speak with Jesus on that mountaintop, Jesus was already shining forth in all of his divine glory. The fullness of God was shining forth fully in the fullness of man. Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes were as white as light. The Creator of the light of the earth, the light of all creation himself, was speaking to these two pillars of the Old Testament. Moses and Elijah, speaking with Jesus at his transfiguration, reveal that all of the Old Testament is about Jesus Christ. Peter, James, and John, along with the other apostles, would boldly proclaim that same truth, that all of God's word is about Jesus and his work of salvation for all mankind. And so it is appropriate that our school here at St. John does have as its focus this year the passage from Ephesians chapter 2. For in that passage, St. Paul says that all Christians are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And those apostles and those prophets serve to point to Jesus Christ as their cornerstone, the center of God's word, the sole platform and sole builder of the church. So our Lutheran school here seeks to make that clear to all of her students and to their families and to our community. So this will be seen plainly in the days ahead as we celebrate this National Lutheran Schools Week. And all of these events of the Transfiguration, with Jesus shining forth in his glory and Moses and Elijah appearing with him, these were witnessed by three men, Peter, James, and John. And not able to keep silent in the midst of this awe-inspiring scene, Peter announced that it was indeed good for them to be seeing what they were seeing. Peter also offered to build three tents or shrines for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, as though they were all on the same level. And while he was still speaking these words, God the Father appeared in a bright cloud to correct Peter's mistake. For Jesus is not equal with Moses and Elijah. Rather, he is their creator. He is their Savior and ours. He is the Father's beloved Son. Jesus is pleasing to the Father, unlike any of them or any of us have ever been. And those disciples and all people are to listen to Jesus, no questions asked. Humbled then by the presence of the Father in the cloud and the magnitude of this whole situation, Peter, James, and John fell with their faces to the ground, a sign of true fear and worship. What brought them out of their great stupor was the touch of Jesus' hand and his words informing them not to fear. What is there to fear when Jesus is with you? Nothing. There is nothing to fear. And when the disciples lifted their heads and looked, they saw only Jesus. He commanded them then and there to tell no one about this event until the Son of Man had been raised from the dead. And they listened to Jesus, and they kept it to themselves until after the resurrection, as we have from Peter himself in our epistle for today, his reporting of this event. And so what these men saw on that mountain was a glimpse, a good look at the glory of God hidden within the human flesh of Jesus Christ. That ultimate epiphany was only a glimpse of the glory of the ultimate epiphany still to come in the fullest sense of the word. The full glory of God to be revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the work of salvation still needed completing. To remain on the mountaintop, as Peter and the disciples wanted to do, with the glory of God present, was not an option. Another mountain still needed climbing. The plan of God for the salvation of mankind needed revealing and full execution. The mountain called Golgotha would serve as that other hill. Its peak would be the location of that plan of God, Christ's work of redemption by paying for the sins of all the world with his very own blood and precious life. There, the glory of God would be revealed in the suffering and death of God's beloved Son. Jesus' death on the cross was most certainly not the end for the beloved Son of God. The glory of God that Jesus revealed on the mountain of transfiguration was about to be revealed again by him, this time for good, forever. On the third day, Jesus would reveal that all graves are only temporary. Jesus would come forth from his tomb, the firstborn of those raised from the dead. Death could no longer touch him. Pain and suffering were no longer possible for Jesus. The Son of God was exalted once more, even as he proclaimed his victory with his descent into hell. Transfiguration of Jesus revealed something very special to three of Jesus' disciples. It showed the almighty power of Jesus, this man standing before them, their Lord and their Master. Such precious knowledge is enough to lead any follower of Christ through the struggles of this life and this world. And yet, even that ultimate epiphany was only a glimpse of a greater epiphany to come. Jesus' resurrection is his claim to life over death. Death is not the end. Instead, life is the end, eternally. And Jesus gives that to you, leading you through this valley of tears and sadness by his resurrection, giving you the promise of your own resurrection from the dead by his powerful hand. That life, his life, he gives you freely in the preaching of his gospel, in the waters of baptism, and in his very body and blood of his supper. The ultimate epiphany has come to you in the one true God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we now journey together through the season of Lent, repenting of our sin and receiving the forgiveness of those sins won by Christ, quietly anticipating the celebration of Christ's work of salvation on the cross for us. And finally, coming to the joys of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, in which we too have the hope and sure promise of life forever with him, we make our way now into the season of Lent, looking forward to that ultimate epiphany. Amen. And now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.